Pharmacy Podcast listeners, I discovered a product I need to tell you about called the UltiGuard Safe Pack, which is 100 premium pen needles in a sharps container all in one. When pharmacies dispense the UltiGuard Safe Pack pen needles, they see consistently higher revenue and higher margins. With the UltiGuard Safe Pack, you're dispensing more for your patients and making more revenue for your pharmacy. Go see for yourself. Check out UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. That's UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. And let us know what you think. And as always, thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast. Pharmacy Podcast Nation, thanks for coming back for another episode of the Pharmacy Podcast. On the Pharmacy Podcast Network, we have to talk about COVID-19 because things have changed. So I don't want to bore everyone. I know that we're really tired of this. I think we're getting to this pinnacle place where things are changing based on what's taken place over the last 4 to 6 weeks. But before that, I do want to welcome back Ken Sternfeld, who is a beacon of knowledge when it comes to the business of pharmacy. And we're going to be touching on several topics within our nation and the nation of pharmacy. Ken, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Todd. Always a pleasure to be with you.
So New Jersey residents and New Jersey healthcare professionals have now been flagged by the state attorney general's office to be very cognizant of what medications are being used to treat COVID-19. And that's the next door neighbor state to both of us, you in New York and me in Pennsylvania. But, you know, it's interesting, Ken. Sometimes I think that the medical healthcare, specifically medication professionals, are not leveraged enough in statewide and nationwide decisions as much as they should be. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree. And I think that we can't even think about the politics of COVID-19. We can't even think about why things are not doing what normalcy, there is no normal. So you said something very interesting just in passing. You said a beacon of light. To me, the beacon of light is completely laser focused on saving patient lives. And this to me is a keep it simple, stupid initiative process that we need to do everything to save more lives than are going to be lost through COVID-19. The numbers when you wake up every day do not go down to the number of people lost. It's horrific. So whether you're in our state of New York, which is the epicenter, or the New Jersey, surrounding tri-states of New Jersey, Connecticut, and soon to be Philadelphia, or Detroit, or Los Angeles, or Florida, when people wake up, whether it be the governors of Alabama, who just woke up, or the governor of, I forget what state, who said, I didn't know it could be transmitted by asymptomatic. I don't think about the horrific stupidity in not doing social distancing today. The only thing that can save more lives are social distancing so the virus cannot spread the way it is geared and designed to spread. Yes, we need more respirators, and we're reaching a point in New York where doctors will have to make a choice between who lives and who dies. So I don't think about the politics. I don't think about the fact that Governor Cuomo literally is almost instituting, an act of war. He's bringing in the National Guard to go to facilities that have ventilators that are not being used, and by law, through the Defense Act, taking those ventilators away and putting them where they can save a life. Now, will there be a million lawsuits in the future about what's going on and what's this? And listen, Rhode Island wants to sue New York, or vice versa, because they won't let a New York resident drive into Rhode Island. I don't think about that stuff, Todd. I don't worry about that stuff. I worry about myself and my family, my loved ones, and all of my friends and family in the pharmacy industry who go to work on the front line and come home with the thought and the fear that they're bringing a disease home that could kill them or their family. I know dozens of pharmacists who are COVID-19 positive. Dozens. There is a huge, huge void of people who, there aren't enough pharmacists to go around. Even with 309,000, there aren't enough. So Todd, the beacon of light, and I apologize for just trying to be laser focused today, because this is like 5 weeks in from when one death was here in New York, and now we're over 3,000 deaths with over 110,000 cases. It's not about conversation now, it's about action. And I'd be happy to tell you how the friends of the Pharmacy Podcast Nation can take action today to save more lives.
Yes. We're going to get to a discussion, which I really want to dig into your recent elevation of telehealth services and technology. I want you to share some of that with our listeners. Before we do, NPR has reported that the United States may get more ventilators, but we are running out of medicines that are helping to supplement the care of patients suffering that go beyond just something that they're trying to leverage as something to overcome the virus, but just supporting medications that they're running out. And that's kind of the scary part to me, not only the impact to our healthcare workers, the physicians, the nurses, and pharmacists that are on the front lines in the hospitals, in the clinics, taking care of patients that are infected, but now the coming issues with supply. That part of it really starts to concern me, Ken.
Oh, it should be a concern in any aspect of business, the logistics, the supply chain. But I'll go back to my again. It's just the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for a different response. I know of the supply chain challenges, and not only hydroxychloroquine or Z-Pax or things that the public is now spruced up on and jacked up on, but inhalers and things that are being need to be used by people who are at high risk, and other maintenance medications. But I always used to tell my wife, and I still do, you can only worry about the things that you can worry about. Otherwise, your brain gets diseased itself. The only thing that we as pharmacists, I believe, can worry about is the fact that if this drug regimen is available and if this drug regimen has positive outcomes, and I'm hearing it, but it's not clinically proven. But Joe Violano, our pharmacist friend from RxVIP, used it and he said, I felt an appreciable difference, and I think I know that it made a difference. Howie Jacobson, who we've had on this show numerous times and is an advocate for independent pharmacies like no other, was homesick positive and took it. Now, we're not going to be here and cannot be here. We're not the FDA. We're not the clinical evidence-based scenarios. And I don't want to talk about what I have no control over. But knowledge is key, empowering the fact that if, God forbid, that disease gets to you, that there's a chance and a hope that a medication that's being used can help you. That's what's in our control. If we can't get it, someone will have to try and get it for us or with us, or we're not going to get that medication. I can't worry about shortages. I worried about shortages every day I was a pharmacist when someone came to the counter and needed, I didn't care what the medication was. It was our need as pharmacists to serve the patient. So if Cardinal was out of stock, that patient didn't care about Cardinal. Didn't care about CVS, didn't care about anything, but I need my medication. Why can't I get it? I want to share one sad story. I used to sit at the drop-off desk at the Seaford store, and we were one of the first Cardinal deliveries that was on the gentleman's route. His name was Carlos. And Carlos had just the best attitude and dragging in those totes, the red ones, the green ones, those things were the only colors. It was green for control and red for all the rest of the stuff. And he'd come in, and the store opened at 8 o'clock. He was always there. If he wasn't there by 8:20, you knew something was wrong. Maybe there was a snowstorm. And he come in and he was, I think his background was Mexican, but I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. He came in with a smile and I loved to see him. And because of my disabilities, I always sat at that drop-off. I was kind of the first person that someone at Seaford CVS saw, which maybe made for a good store or a bad store. I don't know. It turned out to be a good store. And he'd come in with a smile and he'd, you know, look at the sheet and count the number of boxes or totes. And then he passed those totes over the counter and I'd move them and put them underneath. And then one of the other technicians would move them away for me so I didn't trip and fall and then have to sue CVS. Another story. But Carlos continued, and I haven't been in that store for a couple, 3 years. And Joe Villano told me that Carlos came in and was coming in and wasn't feeling well. And Carlos had contracted and tested positive for COVID-19. And this is an individual who was passing those totes across that same area where I was years ago, two interns, two pharmacists, to everybody. And one of those interns was a beautiful, articulate, wonderful tech who I worked with. Her name was Lauren. Her name is Lauren. And that's the person who just called, who I didn't answer the phone. I'm going to call her right back because she tested positive. Well, the sad part is not that Lauren is going to, you know, she's home, 2 weeks of furlough, and thank you, CVS, for paid leave and doing the right thing. But I found out from Joe yesterday that Carlos died. Carlos, the Cardinal delivery guy. Carlos, the man who brought in hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of medications to save lives. He died because of COVID-19.
That's horrible.
It is horrible. But I want to always look at the glass half full, not half empty. So when I heard that Lauren had COVID-19, I called her on Thursday night. Lauren, it's Kenny. How are you doing? I'm doing okay. A little bit of a headache, and fever's down, whatever, but I'm on quarantine. I said, well, how's everybody else? How's your folks? He says, well, sadly, my dad, you know, because I didn't know that I had it, and I was with him a week before. Well, now my dad's in the hospital, and he's on a ventilator. I said, oh, my God, Lauren, I'm so, my heart, my prayers are with you. I said, what are you doing on, you know, she's an LIU student graduating, scheduled to graduate in May. I said, how are you going to do on your rotations? You know, what's the story? He says, well, that's another problem. I have, an ambulatory care and a hospital, and neither one of them will take me. I said, Lauren, you call Robert D. Gregorio at LIU. We don't even work with LIU as experiential entertainment, experiential rotations. I said, but Bob knows us because we took a fellow, Michelle Liu, 2 years ago, on PGX, and we did it because he didn't have enough, you know, learning curve for her. We said we'd love to take her, and she was a wonderful addition to our team. So I know Bob. I had lunch with him, and of course, Crystal and Jason are alumni from LIU. I'm St. John, so you know, I guess we don't talk to each other. But anyway, the point is, I said call Bob, send him an email tonight. He says, yeah, I'll send it to him tomorrow. I said, no, send it to him tonight. Tell him you talk to Ken, and Ken will take you on our rotation immediately so you can complete your educational pathway. So you can get to the point that you can graduate because you are put too much. Our industry needs you. We need people like you. And she sent it. She said, I'll send it tomorrow. I said, no, send it now. It was about 8:30. And by 9:15, Bob had responded and said, Lauren, this is absolutely wonderful news. Ken, thank you for doing that. And I will connect you with Jane, who is our experiential director, and get this in motion immediately. That was Thursday night. On Friday at 10 o'clock, Lauren was in our orientation conversation with Crystal, doing it remotely for five other students from University of Buffalo, from St. John's, and Lauren's now part of our family. And maybe she's calling me today because I asked her on Friday, I said, call me over the weekend. Little did she know that I'd be doing the podcast network. This cannot be told that we can save lives with telehealth, and we need to get into that conversation. Right.
Yep. So, I hate hearing the stories and the reality of what we're all going through, but our world has changed and it will never go back to the way it was. There's going to be things that are going to affect our nation and our healthcare system based on COVID-19. There's going to be a lot of good that's going to come of this. I know that's hard to hear at this point, but there's going to be changes to many aspects of healthcare, including the role of the pharmacist that is proven finally to the public on a media perspective. That is not the public. We all know what pharmacists have done for healthcare in our patients, in our public, and the safety of our healthcare system for years. And I think the media is now realizing, wow, the impact of pharmacists. The Federal Communication Commission enacted a $200 million telehealth initiative to ease the COVID-19 burden on hospitals. This just came out from TechCrunch, which I'm reading, just came out 23 hours ago, has developed and approved a $200 million program to fund telehealth services and devices for medical providers just a week ago. That first round of funding was announced, and you and I understand the unprecedented use of telehealth and the need that we need to embrace and implement as quickly as possible. This is coming from the CARES Act, which includes very heavy spending on aspects of healthcare support, which is telehealth. So, Ken, you and I have been talking about telehealth. We have been excited about the advancement of the technology. Before we get into this, let's take a quick pause to take a moment to listen to our sponsor, and we'll be right back. Today, more than ever, healthcare should be accessible and affordable to everyone. Great healthcare comes down to great communication with a strong, continuous relationship. The combination of a well-designed software platform partnered with empathetic healthcare providers can expand access, dramatically improve efficiency, and offer a better experience for everyone involved. It's far too hard for anyone inside or outside of the healthcare industry to make sense of this maze. The best solution is to make it simple and transparent for all parties involved in care to connect and communicate. Pharmacists, nurses, physicians must all come together at this trying time within our nation. Is a provider of telehealth in collaboration with multiple healthcare providers. Go to rxvipconcierge.com. That's rxvipconcierge.com. And we thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. I'm online right now with Ken Sternfeld. We're talking about telehealth. Ken, your experience, you understand there are technologies out there and technology partners who have been positioned as leaders in telehealth. Describe that to our listeners.
Sure. Well, Todd, you know me as well as anybody, but you know that technology makes my hair hurt. You know, from the first time we did a podcast, I said, Todd, I'll talk, but if you don't plug all the plugs and do all the buttons, then you know what? I'm not your guy. And I can't really understand why the technology of telemedicine has not even come to the forefront sooner than through the emergence of this COVID-19 pandemic and the CMS restriction reduction and elimination to allow physicians to stay connected with their doctor. My wife's doctor, who is my doctor, Dr. Michael Goodman, did a telehealth conversation with my wife this morning, basically because she had blisters on the bottom of her foot. I don't need to share anything more than that. But the point is, telemedicine represented a segment of the healthcare industry up until March 17th. When, as part of the initiatives that the CMS and the government were aligning with, leading up to the $2 trillion bill, the physicians are able to connect with patients across the country, whereas Dr. Michael Goodman, licensed in New York, can treat a patient in Florida or in Pittsburgh because that patient needs to be treated. Telemedicine is a not just emergency initiative for COVID-19. It is going to be part of the new normal. It's not going to replace the new normal. You're going to always want to see your doctor and have him say, hey, doc, can you just check out this thing I have, this little mark over here? Just take a look. And it's not just about taking a picture. It's about having that hospitality, that connection with your care provider. That'll never be replaced, that face-to-face. However, if the percentage of telemedicine, as I've been told, was somewhere in the single digits, you know, maybe up to 10% of what doctors, you hear about Teladoc and other initiatives and doctors using telecommunications and telemedicine appropriately with state regulations in place, I believe that that number will triple or quadruple. They've already done it today, but it will maintain that figure. Every pharmacist listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation should incorporate telemedicine into their pharmacy practice today. Yesterday, Howie Jacobson, the owner of three independent stores, in 5 minutes was given a step-by-step, easy, simple, on his phone implementation on how he could put Spruce Health onto his platform to create Rockville Center Pharmacy in a telehealth environment. It cost him nothing but that 5 minutes of his valuable time, because RxVIP has negotiated a free 60-day trial. And yeah, it's not a bait and switch, and I'm not trying to sell anything. We don't make a penny, a nickel, or a dime on Spruce Health, but we make pharmacist providers, because you can come along on the coattails to collaborate with those physicians with the using the RxVIP model to be paid as a provider. But most important, Todd, what telehealth is doing is it's saving the lives of a pharmacist, the lives of their family members, the lives of their customers in their community, because you cannot be in front of those patients anymore for an undetermined amount of time. So telehealth is a COVID-19 healthcare crisis solution available to Pharmacy Podcast listeners and their friends and their associates. You don't have to subscribe. We want you to subscribe. We want you to listen, because this is where you're going to get all the information. But at the end of the day, any pharmacist, every pharmacist should be in telehealth today to see their patients. You can't serve the patient unless you can see them. It's not just a phone call. This is a HIPAA-compliant platform that allows you to SMS, video conference, do all the things that you need to do, and bring the doctors in your community into your team. How about the fact that if every pharmacy may have 20 or 30 doctors in their community? Each one of those doctors can be part of the Rockville Center Pharmacy Telehealth Platform and invite them as team members to collaborate with you. If they don't have telehealth taught, they're probably going to go out of business as physicians. If you don't see your physician, Todd, he can or she can't make money. So this telehealth initiative is a healthcare lifeline. And the fact that it's bringing the pharmacist to a provider status, because we will show you, not on this podcast, because you'd have to give me a little bit more time, but it's simple. And we will send you a video of how much money compliantly you can make by being a provider on the telehealth platform with the physicians in your neighborhood. Okay. CMS codes. Anyway.
Yes. So what I'm going to do, Ken, is in the show notes, I'm going to have links. This is also going to be implanted into our coronavirusrx.us site. Once again, that's coronavirusrx.us. That is a blog posting that has been reserved for the Pharmacy Podcast Nation to collect interviews and information about being a provider and resources of a provider. This will be implanted there. You're going to be able to reach out, learn more, and get involved in this immediately. And Ken, I'm excited that you've been growing this entire concept for about 6 years now and partnered with the Pharmacy Podcast Network about 3 years ago. And now at the right time, we've had time to practice all of this concierge pharmacist practice and implementation of healthcare and medicine and pharmacy services. And I'm glad we had time to get it up and running, because now it's needed more than ever.
It is. And the only thing that's really growing for me now is my waistline, because of this isolation. My refrigerator says to me, really? Enough already? I'm like, can you give me a break already? But what you're doing, Todd, is really you're saving lives. And again, you've always been and will continue to be a friend of the pharmacy profession, of the industry, and of all of the pharmacists who listen and don't even listen to your podcast. But at the end of the day, you're not a pharmacist, but you are doing so much for pharmacists that it's just an honor and a pleasure to be part of your family and your team of Pharmacy Podcast Nation, because 3 years ago, I got a little card in the mail with a coffee mug that's still sitting here right on my desk, welcoming me to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. And it changed my life, and I am a podcaster for life with you, and as a result of you giving me an opportunity to enhance my career and enhance my ability as a care provider. So I thank you.
That's the strength of not only friendship, but the network itself, Ken. I've learned a tremendous amount of information from you, and so many of our pharmacy listeners have engaged and become part of this inner circle family of support, ultimately caring for our patients. We're thank you so much for listening today on today's podcast episode. Remember, coronavirusrx.us. That's where you can hear a bunch of different episodes with multiple voices in pharmacy. Ken, thanks for coming back again. We will be talking to you again next week. So I'm really excited about the follow-up on leveraging telehealth in pharmacy.
I appreciate that, Todd, and thank you for the opportunity. And anyone who wants to reach out to me, let me be your human Xanax during these difficult times. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we will all come out together, and there will be good for the profession and for healthcare and for our nation as a result of together getting through this COVID-19 horrific national healthcare crisis. So thank you, Todd, for giving us the platform to discuss it with you.
Thank you, Ken. For all listeners, all pharmacists, nurses, physicians in the trenches out there, we wish a special blessing. God bless you. God bless your families. Stay safe. Stay tuned in, and let us know what we can do to help. Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.